I don't know if you heard the last words of that. And remember, Granny loves you. Wow. And Jesus would say, that's my church. Nothing says love more than making you not feel loved or welcome. On my first Sunday as pastor of every church I've pastored in, I've asked that we agree on one basic rule in my first message. No one owns a pew. We did not make it, we did not buy it, we do not own it. It was bought by the provision of God through the tithes of hundreds of God's people. It was placed here to support all and any who would need a seat, including us. And just because we happen to be there most Sundays, it's not our pew. And even though it'll be hard for you to say, please repeat after me, this is not my pew. Please. This is not my pew. Oh, that was great. Do it again. This is not my pew. In my last church, one of the families that we were able to bring in was a family who had gone to a church and they went for Sunday school first. Went to Sunday school first. Maybe I'll use this one. Went to Sunday school first, and when they went to the Sunday school, the gentleman went and he sat in a chair, and sure enough, somebody came in and said, excuse me, sir, you're in my chair. So he moved and he went to another part of the Sunday school toward the back. And then when they went up for church, they went there and they looked around and they sat down. And you know what happened. The person came and just kind of stood by them. And they sat there and they said, is this your pew? Yes, it is. But you can go ahead and sit there. But that is usually my pew. And then they walked away. They said, we did not feel welcome there. They said, so we started to come to this church. Am I sitting in somebody's pew? I said, well, we have an understanding here that nobody owns a pew. Somebody might be sitting there, but they do understand that somebody probably sat there before them, so they're actually sitting in somebody else's pew, if you really want to put it that way. So we don't go that way. There are some different types of simple offenses that we don't even realize we're doing, we're saying. There was a lady that went into a church. And she got wrapped up in the service, and she said, amen, only to have the person next to her go, shh. What if the person that was saying amen turned to the person saying shh and said, no, say amen. I know that in our church we would prefer a no eating or drinking in the sanctuary. We did have a situation here where we had our first combined town meeting together, and one of the people from our Streams of Hope family had four nuts left in their hand. And they came in with the nuts. And they were finishing them up as they sat down in the pew. And right before they got to the last nut, somebody passed them a note saying, you're not supposed to eat in church. Oh, boy. A lady pointed out to me very clearly when I first got here, there's not supposed to be any food or beverage within the sanctuary. And you need to make it a hard, fast rule, Pastor, that nobody walks into that sanctuary with any food or any drink. And right as she was saying it, her husband walked by with a drink in his hand, walked right into the sanctuary. I'm thinking she wanted to tell me to tell him that he's not supposed to come in here. Also, after one of our services together, somebody came up to me. They said, Pastor, I'm really enjoying these United services together. I said, well, so am I. And she said, well, and what I really liked is we're seeing more folks raise their hands in worship like you're supposed to. Not everybody. Those are things that we have from both churches and all traditions, whether you're down the hall or you're up in here or wherever we are. People are going to come into our churches that are from a different background and tradition, and we need to make them feel welcome rather than have our own little personal agendas and our own preferences that we're going to enforce on them. Yes, we need to respect the body, we respect the building. At the same time, we need to respect people more than property. We all need to work on our hearts, our minds, our attitudes, our actions towards others, and let that result in some loving behavioral modification. And when Christian brethren begin to strive for such a love and kindness, guess what happens? Unity. Jesus wants unity in his church. And Jesus has a right to say so because, number one, Jesus is the head of his church. In Colossians 1, 15 to 18, it says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things. He is the beginning and firstborn from among the head, and he is the head of his body, the church. Ephesians 5:23 adds, Christ is the head of the church, he himself being the savior of the body. Colossians 1:18, Christ is head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come first place in everything. I don't care what name a church may have in this world, it is no true church unless the people in and of that church acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the head first and foremost. Amen? Of his church, Jesus says, that's my church. Jesus cares about the unity of his church. In John 17, 20 to 23, before Jesus was leaving this earth, he prayed, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus prayed. He cares about our unity. And when we are united, Jesus says, that's my church. Our unity comes from a common bond, and that bond is in Jesus Christ. When we come to faith in Christ, we share the same Savior and Lord. We are reborn into the same eternal family. God becomes our shared Father. His Word becomes our shared authority. And we are brothers and sisters in the same eternal family of church. We better learn to love, accept, and get along here because we're stuck with each other for eternity. Turn to somebody and say, you're stuck with me. Together. Forever. What a great privilege we have been provided by God's amazing grace. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, he is making us one together with such a wide and diverse group of people in this world. We come from various colors and backgrounds and struggles and sins, but we stand on a level plane before the foot of the cross. May our unity with other believers be so loving, our fellowship so warm, and our hearts so caring that people without Christ are irresistibly drawn to his Son whom we love and adore. And when we are united in Christ, Jesus says, that's my church. One way to get rid of that is to eliminate selfishness. I love to break that word out, selfishness. We all need to move from self to all. Listen to the challenges from God in his word. Philippians 2:3. Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Ephesians 4:1-6. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all lowliness and meekness, with patience, forbearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, there is one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Amen? In Christ's church, live a life worthy of this, he says. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Christ. It's about reaching others with the love of Christ. Yes, we are different. In each of our churches, there is a surprising diversity in congregations. We have old and young from all over the area, from different states and even nations, and different church backgrounds. But we are one in Jesus Christ. When there is love and kindness reigning in a church, unity is found. Church is not about me and my preferences and my traditions. Church is not a group of people who come together to be entertained, but a body of selfless believers who are striving to worship God as God's united church. Two men met on a plane, and one asked the other, "Are you a Christian?" "Yes, I am." "Wonderful. Are you a Protestant or a Catholic?" "I'm a Protestant." "That's great. So am I. Are you a Calvinist or Arminian in your theology?" "I'm a staunch Calvinist." "That's fantastic. So am I. If you don't mind me asking, are you a Calvinistic Baptist or a Calvinistic Presbyterian?" "I'm a Calvinistic Baptist." "What a coincidence. I'm a Calvinistic Baptist too. Are you a Northern Calvinistic Baptist or a Southern Calvinistic Baptist?" "By heritage and by choice, I am a Northern Calvinistic Baptist." "Unbelievable. So am I. May I ask if you're a Northern regular Calvinistic Baptist or a Northern conservative Calvinistic Baptist?" "I'm a Northern conservative Calvinistic Baptist." "This is astounding. There are only 200 of us in the world, and the two of us just happened to meet in this plane. Tell me, sir, would you happen to be a Northern conservative Calvinistic Baptist convention of 1844 or a Northern conservative Calvinistic Baptist convention of 1868? "I'm of 1844. "This is a miracle. Are you a Northern Conservative Calvinistic Baptist Convention of 1844 and use the King James Version or the New International Version?" "I use the New International Version." And the guy said, "I knew you were a fake." Satan loves it when Christians split hairs. First we split hairs, then we split churches. One major danger to every church is disunity. Unity is God's will. It is to be sought, prized, and guarded at all costs because Satan loves disunity. If he can't destroy from without, he'll attack from within. He'll attack doctrine. If that doesn't work, he'll go for the leaders, and then he'll attack the unity in the body. In Philippians 2:2, Paul says, "Make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind." That means be deep-spirited friends, meaning same-souled. We're in this together. We weep when others weep, we laugh when others laugh and rejoice, and when anyone loses, we all lose. It's a united church, and we're in this together. In the 1800s, a gentleman named Lord Horatio Nelson led the British fleet. In one battle, he came up on deck in the middle of a war and found two of his officers quarreling. He grabbed them both by the neck, whirled them around at the enemy ship, and said, "Gentlemen, there are your enemies. Not on this ship." We need to remember the enemy is out there. The prince of darkness who wants nothing more than to divide God's people into quarreling factions so that the lost people will not hear the good news and that Christ the Savior is here for them. Quarreling church members end up not being witnessing church members. There's nothing the devil fears more than Christians who are united. This means that his number one tactic is to cause disunity in the church. If he can succeed, then he cripples the church. And the enemy's out there. But we need to work to focus on the work of the gospel. If you know Christ, you are on the team. There are no bench warmers on his team. God has gifted you to do something toward the cause of the gospel. If you know Christ as Savior, you're on the same team. You know, we had a lot of instruments up here, and we've had them before in our United Services. We have all kinds of strings and brass, and we have drums and guitars and voices and a choir. And we have all these different things. If you ever heard them tuning up alone, it would really sound weird if they all did it at the same time. But once they have agreed to come together in the same structure of a worshipful song, and they all blend their parts and they all do their part, it offers the most beautiful experience of worship. Amen? That's what the body of Christ is about. There's a saying that says, two Christians are better than one when they're one. Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it." In this room, we are bound together. We are bound together by the blood of Jesus. We are all of the same church, the same body. Psalm 133:1 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity." Jesus is the head of the church. This church, the church, is his. Jesus wants his church united. We all come into this church the same through the blood of Jesus Christ, forgiven sinners. We are all important parts in his church. Christ's church is no place for selfishness.
And Christ is blessed when we are his united church. And when we each and all are united and rejoicing and sharing in the love of care of Jesus Christ as a united church of Jesus, Jesus says, now that's my church. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you, Lord, for your church. We thank you, Lord, that each time we come in, Lord, to this building, whether it's in different sections or in the foyers and the United Service, Lord, that we are always here as the body of Jesus Christ. Continue, Lord, to unite us. We continue to pray for your vision and, Lord, for your will as to the merger type situation, Lord. And we enjoy it so much when we talk together and we worship together. Lord, we just ask for your will in that. But in the meantime, Lord, even when we're worshiping separately or worshiping together, we thank you that we are one in Jesus Christ. We thank you that we are one church, now and forever. We thank you that we are stuck with each other joyfully, now and forever, because of Jesus. We ask you to help us, Lord, to mature, to grow, to change in our hearts, to open our hearts and our lives and our minds to one another so that we can develop that oneness that you so desire in the body of Christ. Father, we pray that we will each one choose to live each moment of every day so that you see our part in this church and you will see all the parts together honoring you, following you, honoring one another, and you will be blessed and you will say, that is my church. And Lord, as your church, may we encourage one another, love one another, care for one another, and Lord, may we reach this community and this world that is such need of Jesus Christ, the love of Christ. Let us be united around that. Let us debate about how we can best do that. Let us be enthusiastic as we continue to do that. And Father, may you be blessed by our response of our hearts and our lives. Father, this isn't our church. This isn't our pew. This isn't our worship service. It's yours. And we thank you for it. And we will honor that. And we will honor you through it. And we pray this in Jesus' name, as all God's people say. Amen. Amen.